The last time we got together, we were reading a scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. And as we got to the end of the message, we'd only covered half of what this scripture really is asking us or asked us to do. And that text is this one, Galatians 5, verse 25. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We talked last week about living by the Spirit. We'll summarize a little bit of that. But the big part is, how do we keep in step? How do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit? But first of all, let's understand and have a common understanding as to who the Holy Spirit is. He is personal. He is in our lives. He has a mind and he thinks. He is a source of wisdom and counseling. He is capable of experiencing affections and feelings and emotions. He has a will, and his will is the best for each and every one of us. He grieves when we sin. But he testifies and he encourages and he strengthens and he teaches and he is there as a power that has been given to us. This power of the Holy Spirit was the same power, along with God the Father and Jesus Christ, that created this earth. We were praying today earlier about how wonderful it is that it rained today, because our gardens needed the water and our gardens were a little dry. But everything that's been created, from the depths of the oceans to the heights of the heavens and the stars, was created by a power, and that power included the same power that's in each and every person who has received Jesus Christ. It's called the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, as Luke mentioned actually in his testimony, you start a new life. You're born again. And you're born again, and that birth is sealed. It cannot be taken away. The other side of it is no Holy Spirit, no life. And sometimes, you know, We sort of take for granted, but we never complete the sentence. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we have been given eternal life. We have been given eternal life into the kingdom of God, and we've been given eternal life to be with Jesus Christ for eternity. That's what eternal life means. It means to have an eternal life with Christ. What an amazing thing to be looking forward to. And so when you operate without the Holy Spirit inside of you, people operate or tend to operate on their own strength. And they can only achieve what I would call just human results. Many of those results, unfortunately, end up in tragedy. They end up in hopelessness. And we see this tragedy and this hopelessness around us each and every day. Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, she wrote in a book, Just Give Me Jesus, this quote regarding this scripture. She says, the Holy Spirit is powerfully at work in your life, hovering over your heart, preparing you to love God. He hovers over your mind, preparing you to understand spiritual things and the truth of his word. He hovers over your will, preparing you to make decisions that are pleasing to him. All the powers of God, the same power that hung the stars in place, put the planets on their courses, and transformed earth, now resides in you to energize and strengthen you to become the person God created you to be. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week we said, well, how do we live to by the Holy Spirit? We were told by, or we are told in Galatians by Paul, he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Turn from the worldliness. Turn from the fleshly desires. Deny those and look to Christ. We live by the Holy Spirit because we are led by the Holy Spirit. We live by the Holy Spirit because we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And as Paul says, there's no law against any of that. There's no law that says you should not love, you should not have joy, you should not be patient, you should not be kind. There is no law against that. But now, having said that, how do we keep in step? How do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is transforming our lives and preparing us to be with Christ forever. Just as Ann Lott said, he is preparing us, he resides in us, and he strengthens us to become the person, to become the person God wants us to be. The very first thing we must do to keep in step with the Holy Spirit is beautifully written in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. He says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, and we are weak. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts, just as David wrote a psalm about pleading with God, search my heart, know what's inside me. Paul writes, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So what's the first thing that we do to keep in step? Pray. Prayer. It is such an important piece and aspect of our daily lives. You know, the Spirit will give us the understanding. And I'm asked, and I'm sure you are too, how has the world become the way it is? Why is there so much pain, sorrow, and agony? And we know it's because man fell, because of man's falling. Sin came and the world has become what it is today. But what we have with the Holy Spirit is he will lead us to prayer. Thanks to Jesus Christ, our high priest and Savior, we can come before God and we can pray. What do we pray for? You know, it's very easy to say a prayer asking all the time. We pray, really, our prayer should start with praising God, thanking God, confessing who we are, that we're sinners, asking for forgiveness. And once we've praised and thanked and asked for forgiveness, then we pray, because he's going to hear us. Those barriers have been wiped away by asking for the forgiveness which he grants us in our prayers. Then we can say, we pray for the missionaries. We pray for those who are out there proclaiming the gospel. We pray for those who are persecuted. We pray for those who have no hope. We pray for those whose families are in distress. We pray for those who are health problems. We pray for our government. If anybody says, oh, I don't know what to pray for, there's a short list. There's a huge amount of things that we can pray for in addition to praising God. And the nice part is, we all know, as some of you have all experienced, he answers the prayers. He answers our prayers. Our world today needs prayer, and this is keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. We need prayer for mercy. We need prayer for healing. We need prayer for peace, for love, for healing. We had a prayer time this morning where Sandra explained that her little granddaughter, Tamara's daughter, Eleanor, who is, 2 weeks old, has meningitis. Very serious for a two-week-old baby. We pray for Eleanor. Think of Eleanor the next time you're praying. Because the Holy Spirit is going to stir that up in you, and he's going to hear that, and he will bring that and present that to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for unity. We pray for social justice. Justice is needed everywhere. We pray above all for the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom to come, because that's the only solution to man's problems today, is the return of Jesus Christ. Because we've proven that we can't solve our problems ourselves. We just can't. The next thing, as far as keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, is to read his word. It's so simple. God gave us the book, his truth, his word. I was reading a book recently, a book that I recommend called Help, Thanks, Wow. And in that book, it is made very clear by the author, Anne Lamott, that she says, you know, there are three things that you can't change. There are three things you cannot change. You cannot change the past. You cannot change someone else. Okay, no matter how you may try, you can't do it. That requires, by the way, the Holy Spirit to change somebody's heart. But the other thing that you cannot change is the truth. And where is the truth? Thy word is the truth. The truth is the Bible. And if we're going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we should be keeping in step by reading the truth on a daily basis. Now, somebody says, okay, fine. Where do I start? What do I do? Do I start at the beginning of Genesis and just sort of read until I get to the end of Revelation? You're going to get to some pretty boring parts. Excuse me, God, but that's true. It does get a little tough when you're reading the book of Numbers, all right, and long lists of genealogies, but they're there for a reason. So, okay, so if you've just become a new Christian, a new member of God's family, where do you start? Well, I can say you can start in the Psalms, you can start in the book of John. The other thing that is amazing is we have so many other things that are called devotionals. There's some in the back. It's called Our Daily Bread. And you pick the verse for the day and the devotional that goes with it, and you're going to read the truth. And you'd be surprised how many times you open up a devotional, not just the Daily Bread, there's tons of them that you can choose from, but the Daily Bread is a very good source. And you read that verse for that day and the devotional that goes with it, and it's exactly what you needed. Amazing. I know a few people, my son in particular, when he was going through a very difficult time, prayer and the Daily Bread got him through a 2.5-year difficult trial. So we've got prayer. We have God's word. That helps us to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We should be praying daily and thankfully and praising as we have done today. But we also, you'd be surprised how the Holy Spirit sort of nudges us, sort of directs us in a way. In John chapter 16, verse 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You'd be surprised how something directs you, encourages you, inspires you to maybe do the littlest of thing, but it is the Holy Spirit working with you, nudging you forward, keeping you in step with Him. We all bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit when you do something that is loving, praising, thankful, God, when you're gentle. That's the Holy Spirit working with you and the fruit that, and as you recognize that fruit developing inside you, that's the Holy Spirit and you keeping in step with it. One of the other ones is to be forgiving. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. You can't be keeping in step with the Holy Spirit if you're not willing to forgive. You can't keep in step with the Holy Spirit if we don't practice self-control. But that self-control is given to us by the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. For the Spirit of God, it says in 2 Timothy, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, doesn't make us shy, doesn't make us afraid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Boy, oh boy, isn't it tough to overcome whether we'll call it sin. Some people will say, temptation or whatever. You can use whatever you like, but sometimes it's just so tough to resist. And yes, we fall sometimes, and thankfully God forgives us. But He also gives us this power to conquer it the next time we're confronted with it. And we may fall again, but He'll give you that power again to try and resist. So practice self-control. There are two other things that are really important when it comes to being in step with the Holy Spirit. Prayer, of course, number one. Reading God's truth daily, absolutely critical. But we can't do it without others. In Hebrews chapter 10, 25, he says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other desperately. And the Holy Spirit is present. As it says, when two or three are gathered together, I am with you. The importance of church community is in these difficult times is so important. It cannot be overstated how important it is as a group of believers that we are there to encourage and love one another, especially during difficult times. It is so critical. I have a hard time, and I know that during COVID it was very enticing to just sit home and watch TV and say, I'm a Christian. But you're there all by yourself. You're there all by yourself. How would you know who to pray for? How would you know who needs help? How would you know to rejoice with somebody else, as we've done already this morning, if there wasn't this community of believers? It is essential that we gather together as a community of believers so that we can encourage, love, and support one another with the values that we have been given by Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. Because He will keep us in step with Him as we do that. The other and final part about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit is that we are to serve. We are to serve others. I won't read Matthew 25. I think I've done that a few times in the last few weeks. There are people out there who are thirsty, who are hungry, who are naked, who are in prison, who are who are sick, who are need healing, who need visitation, who are grieving, who are mourning. We serve by helping them. We serve by serving the community. We serve by showing our love for others. And it doesn't have to be money, it can be time. That's what it can be. We serve by listening to other people. We serve. And the Holy Spirit, you'd be surprised how the Holy Spirit will put you in a situation and give you the words that you need to help somebody else and to serve. Or make an opportunity available for you to serve. And then it's your decision to either keep in step with the Holy Spirit or not. Prayer. God's word, being forgiving, being with one another, learning to serve. This is what it means to keep in step. So, as we continue to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, I know and we all know that we will experience spiritual growth. We will actually experience over time a transformation in each and every one of us that we never knew was possible. It unfortunately doesn't come by turning a switch. It doesn't come all at once. And that's why it's important to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, that you promise to live by the Holy Spirit, but that you will keep in step with the Holy Spirit as He leads you. Because then we can feel assured of His guidance and His protection. We will learn to trust. We will learn to lean on the Spirit when it's time to make important decisions. We will learn to look to the Holy Spirit so we don't make decisions on impulse or the fear of what maybe somebody else might think. As it said in the scripture we already read, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We can count on Him when He leads us, when we're having to deal with difficult relationships, maybe even our finances, spiritual challenges, maybe even things that are happening at work. With the divine wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us, we have this access to help us through these difficult situations. We will learn to walk in peace and in joy, living our lives by the fruit. We live for the glory of God, not for ourselves. We live by the direction as we are led and we listen to the Holy Spirit. And as we do so, we will receive a renewed strength that gets us through these tough times. See, walking in the Holy Spirit is not about being perfect. He will lead us there. But none of us are or ever will be perfect on this side of eternity. But it is about staying close to Him as we can, keeping Him in our hearts and minds. Yes, we will stumble. We all do. But we also recognize that we can repent, pray, and our lives are reset to go forward. So I urge, keep listening. Keep walking with Him. Keep in step with Him. Because we've received a power. As Christ, as it was said in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that power is beyond our ability to even understand how great it is. even Paul, when he wrote to Ephesians, he said, I can't describe how powerful the Holy Spirit and God is. But he says, but to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work in us. That power is in us. So let us walk, let us live, and let us keep in step with the Spirit. I'll just close with a prayer. Lord, Thank you for being in our hearts and minds. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We pray that you will continue through the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to be in step with you. Strengthen us when we are weak. Give us the joy that we can share with other people. Help us to witness to others. Help us to recognize that you are so powerful, the great Creator, and that power that you used, that power of the Holy Spirit that was used to create, is in each and every one of us. Change our hearts, soften our hearts. And we do ask a special prayer that you will change the hearts of our families and friends, that they too will recognize who you are, and that they will receive the blessing of having the Holy Spirit, the power within them, and the eternal life in the kingdom, and an eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.